Well, good morning. We're going to talk about Elijah, and I want to specifically talk about Elijah's faith in prayer. Now, 1 Kings 17, verse 1, we get the introduction there to Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite comes onto the scene, and he says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So, he says, I'm going to, as it were, I, Elijah, am going to command the rain that there will not be rain. And when I say, there will be rain. Now, James comments on this in James 5, and he says that Elijah prayed that there would be no rain, and he prayed again that there would be rain, and there was rain. Now, why did Elijah do that? Well, James quotes that, or refers to that, in the context of talking about how we can help our brother or sister come to repentance and come to salvation. So his motive in this prayer was so that Israel, through that drought, might come to God, might turn back to God. And note in passing that Elijah himself suffered as a result of that. I mean, he suffered the result of living for 3.5 years without any rain. So then his motive in that prayer was for others and for their spiritual blessing. And so God heard him. And just in passing, we struggle perhaps with the idea of unanswered prayer. I prayed for this and it didn't happen. And I wanted to focus a bit about the idea of us praying for other people. Now, in the next chapter, in chapter 18, there's this whole thing with Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Carmel, and he prays for God to send fire down and consume the sacrifice. Chapter 18, verse 37, he says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God." Time and again, we see this, that if we pray for other people according to God's will, then he will hear us, that somehow life will work out. Somehow our prayers will be heard if our motive in all that is to see God's name glorified in the lives of other people. It's not so much give me this, that, or the other. It's very much do this for other people. And it is those prayers that will be heard. You remember that parable that the Lord gave. That if somebody comes at midnight and knocks on your door, then you feel that you've got to somehow give them some food, and so you will get up and you will disturb your family and you will do this. And so Jesus says, so God will do that for us. And the idea is that we ourselves also, if we are responding to the knock, as it were, of other people's need, and we go to God, then he will move heaven and earth to hear our prayers. If it is for other people and for God's name to be glorified in them. But Elijah doesn't stand up and say to Israel, well, I'm going to pray to God, and if he hears me, then there won't be any rain. And then I'm going to pray to God, and then if he hears me, there will be rain back on the earth. He seems absolutely confident that he is asking according to the will of God, to the extent that it seems he can even command and say, according to my, Elijah's word, there will not be any rain, or there will be rain. And I want to draw to your attention some words that are recorded in John, where in John 15:7, the Lord says that if his words abide in us, we will ask what we will, and it will be done. You know there's a lot of connections between John's gospel and the letters of John later on. And in 1 John 5, if you want the references, 1 John 5:14, John seems to allude to those words of Jesus where he says, we know that if we ask anything according to God's will, it will be done. But he records the Lord Jesus as saying that if his words abide in us, we will ask what we want according to our will, and it will be done. So then, if God's word abides in us, our will becomes merged with the will of God. And so therefore we're no longer asking for purely what we want, we're asking according to God's will. And I think that's why over time, after our conversion to the Lord Jesus, as his word abides in us, as day by day we read and his word becomes part of us, part of our thinking, our prayer life and our prayer experience becomes more positive because we're praying for the right things. Now, again in John, 1 John 3:22, we're told that, again, if his commandments are in us, if his word is in us, we will be heard. Whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. And I think the idea is because his commandments abide in us. So whatever we ask, we receive of him. And so many people have read those words and say, wow, that's not true. I remember when I was a little kid, I don't know how old I was, maybe 7 years old. I mean, I would shut my eyes so tightly, like really, really, really tightly, and pray to God and say, please God, make it so that when I open my eyes, I will see £20 note on the floor, whatever it was, 5 quid or whatever it was. And I would open my eyes and there was no 5 quid or 20 quid, whatever it was, there on the floor. And I prayed that prayer, I tell you, so many times. And God never heard me. And it may be a childish example, but you know, we're pretty well still the same in so many ways. Eyes shut tight, intense faith. Man, I believed. I'll tell you, I believed. Please make it so when I open my eyes, there will be a £5 note, a £20 note on the floor in front of me. And looking there on the floor, there wasn't there. Why? Because I had in my mind all the things I would spend that, whatever it was, £5 or £10, £20, whatever it was, all those things I would spend it on. Because there was a shop down the road, maybe 100 metres, 150 metres from my house. And I could tell you the price of all the different sweets and all the different candies and stuff that were in that store. I knew that. And I knew what I was going to spend my, whatever it was, my 5 or 10 quid on, or whatever, that I thought I would see there on the carpet in front of me. That's not the kind of prayer that God hears. So when we read there, whatever we ask, we receive of him, talking in this positive way, well, that is because his word or commandments, as he says here, are kept in us, abide in us. Just what Jesus said in John 15, verse 7. Now, Elijah had that clearly in his mind, and I think he took it sort of to the ultimate extent, maybe, of many of the prophets, that his mind and his will, and the mind, the word, the will of God, the spirit of God, if you like, were sort of merged. And you see that, by going back to 1 Kings, you see that, 1 Kings 21, verse 21, where he has a meeting there with Ahab. 1 Kings 21, well, starting at 20, Elijah says to Ahab, "You have sold yourself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you, and will take away your posterity, and will cut off from Ahab every male." Now, you think, now, wait a minute, who's talking here, Elijah or God? Well, it's Elijah talking. He, you know, Ahab says to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And Elijah says to Elijah, "I have found you." This is Elijah talking to Ahab. "Because you have sold yourself to work evil in the sight of the Lord," talking about the Lord in the third person there, "behold, I will bring evil upon you." This is Elijah talking or God talking? "And I will take away your posterity and will cut off from Ahab." Sometimes it's God talking to Ahab, but it's actually Elijah talking to Ahab. "And I will cut off from Ahab every male." Now, the mind of Elijah and the mind of God merge together. You see this throughout the prophets. Quite often, Jeremiah is a good example. You're sort of reading these passages and you're thinking, who's this speaking? Is this God or is this Jeremiah? It seems to be Jeremiah, but then it seems to be God. And why that's difficult to sort out is because the mind of these prophets had merged with the mind of God in that respect. And of course, this is the challenge to us. That we think sometimes, well, I'm too tired to read the Bible today. What's the point in reading? What's the point in this? I'm too dead. I'm shot. And, there are times when I guess that is true. But bit by bit, and this is my point, bit by bit, the mind of God is revealed to us as we go through life, as we learn from the things God brings into our lives, as we read his word. And bit by bit, his word, his will, becomes part of ours. And then, as I say, we are going to sort of naturally ask for the right things. We're not going to be praying that, you know, may I open my eyes and find, you know, a banknote sitting there in front of me. Of course, maybe there is some extreme situation where you need that banknote not for yourself, but for somebody else. Maybe. Be an extreme case in our generation, but maybe. And God is eager, of course, to hear. And we hear, we read there in John about whatever you ask, you're going to receive. And we see Elijah exemplifying that by saying, there will not be dew nor rain, but according to my word, Elijah's word. And he knew, of course, that this is going to come from God. But it's God who sends the rain. He knew that. And in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, God says to Elijah, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I, God, will send rain upon the earth. So there is an extent to which, you know, God has his will. But James says that Elijah prayed, and the rain came. And we read that later on in 1 Kings 18, where there is Elijah on Carmel praying for the rain. And it was a struggle. You know, he threw himself down upon the earth. This was no automatic kind of thing. He threw himself down upon the earth. This was real prayer. And we want to be in this position where whatever we ask, we receive of him, because his word abides in us. But have you ever thrown yourself down? Physically thrown yourself down upon the earth in prayer? This is a sort of prayer that we're asked to make. And you'll notice in 1 Kings 18 that Elijah does this at the time of the evening sacrifice. And I suggest he did it at the time of the evening sacrifice because he saw the parallel between prayer and sacrifice. And you see that in the Psalms quite often. David also sees that parallel between prayer and sacrifice. Now, the whole idea of the Jewish sacrifices was that the animal had to be prepared. It's like the incense, which also symbolized prayer. The incense had to be prepared. I mean, this was not an idea that comes in your head and so wish. You quickly pray to God about it and, may this happen, may that not happen. You know, there's got to be a certain degree of planning and preparation in prayer. Now, I am not saying that we should not pray in the heat of the moment. Of course we should. That's absolutely right. That some calamity happens and you pray to God. You're driving, you're on a motorbike or something, and you see something happening and please God save me or whatever. That's quite normal. That's quite right. How I'm sure God's delighted with that. But there is also this prayer of sort of preparation. The prayer that has been thought out and worked out ahead of time and prepared. And that is, I think, a challenge to us. Now, how many times have you and I cuddled ourselves up warm in bed, okay, and now I'll pray. And next thing you know, it's morning. Next thing you know, it's morning. Because you go to sleep when you're praying. And again, there's no harm with going to sleep when you're praying. It's far better to go to sleep praying than go to sleep worrying about tomorrow. And the fact that God is prepared to accept the instantaneous prayer like Nehemiah in front of the great king there in Persia, the fact that that God is prepared to listen to us, no matter how we pray, in one sense, that should not be allowed to militate against the fact that there is and should be a place in our lives for prepared, serious, cast down upon the earth prayer like Elijah did. You know, it was fantastic, wasn't it, when they were up there on Carmel and there's the water running around the trench and the prophets of Baal all day have been trying to get Baal to send some fire down and nothing happens, and then there's this man alone praying to God, please hear me so that this people may know you. And eventually it comes, and then he's praying there for the rain to come. You remember, he prays and casts himself down, and there's no answer to start with. Not for ease that prayer shall be. It is, in that sense, a struggle. And yet he believed that it was going to happen, even when it seemed, humanly speaking, there was no rain around. 1 Kings 18, 41, Elijah says to Ahab, get up, eat and drink. There is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, if that is not the hearing of faith, I don't know what is. He could hear that rain coming. even though it was not there. He believed that what he could not see with his own senses and eyes and ears, he believed that he could see it and he could hear it. And of course that reminds us of what we know about God, that he speaks about those things that are not as though they are. And the whole key to prayer and faith in prayer, I suggest, is to adopt God's perspective. But in the same way as he can talk about things that do not exist as if they do, because he knows that his word will come true, so it is for us. But we always struggle about, well, how do I know if this is the will of God? Well, the answer to that question comes down, I think, in one sense, quite simply, to the Bible. That if we are asking God for things that we perceive from God's word are clearly his will to give, then God will hear us to a quite amazing extent. You know, it's not screwing your eyes up like I said, like I did as a little boy. May I see a whatever banknote lying there on the carpet when I open my eyes? No. It's praying, maybe for funds, for if we're so financially sort of obsessed for whatever, for God's work or whatever. But the bottom line is that if we really have our direction and focus in life clear, that we want to see God's name glorified in people. And Elijah, for all his failings, and he had a lot of them, we might talk about that in another class, but for all his failings, Elijah had a very clear focus upon the name of God being glorified in his people. Whether that meant providing for them spiritually, materially, in whatever way, he had that focus. And because of that, because he knew that he was in tune with God's thinking, he rose to these amazing heights of prayer. But as I say, of faith in prayer, but as I say, not for ease that prayer shall be. It wasn't that he just snapped his fingers and these things happened. There was a huge input from him, this casting of himself down on the earth. And finally, I'd like to just talk about what is said about Elijah when his ministry ends. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And I suggest horsemen there is an intensive plural. The great horseman. Elijah is called the horseman of the chariot of Israel. What's the chariot of Israel? The cherubim. The angels there, eager to go forth and do God's word. And he is, as it were, likened to the driver, the horseman of God's chariot. In other words, he decided where they were to go in doing God's will, and he had control, as it were, over the angels. This is the huge power of prayer. You remember Joshua, that he prays to God, and the sun stands still for a day. And it says there was never a day like it, when God, there in heaven, heard the voice of a little man here on earth. And you and I are just the same. God is eager to hear us, and if we have that focus upon him and his name and his people, we also really will be able to rise up to the spirit and power of Elijah.